This is The Benson at 100, a podcast from the Nettie Lee Benson Latin American Collection at the University of Texas at Austin. The Benson is one of the world's most storied libraries. During this, our centennial year, we explore the people, archives, and collections that built this library. Learn more at benson100.org. That's benson100.org. Thanks for joining us.
And welcome to our second episode. My name is Pilar Zazueta. I'm a historian and the associate director of Lilas Benson, Latin American Studies and Collections at the University of Texas at Austin. Today, I'll be speaking with Daniel Arvino, head of collection development for the Nettie Lee Benson Latin American Collection. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you for having me, and I'm very thrilled to be here.
Okay, so let's talk about the Benson Latin American Collection. For those who don't know, the centennial of the Benson is marked not by the name of the library, but by its first acquisition. What can you tell us about the collection that started it all a century ago?
Yeah, so the Nettie Lee Benson Latin American Collection is famous enough to have a truth and a legend regarding its beginnings. They're not totally dissimilar, and I'll point out where they diverge. The year is 1920, and Álvaro Obregón just became president of Mexico. And in an effort to maintain a relationship with Texas, obviously since it was once part of Mexico, he invited two delegates down to Mexico City for his inauguration, two delegates from the University of Texas. One day, the two gentlemen are walking the streets of Mexico City, and they see a book for sale in a store window. This book was a perceived first edition of La Historia Verdadera de la Conquista de la Nueva España, or The True History of the Conquest of New Spain, first published in 1632 by Bernal Díaz del Castillo. The two delegates from UT decide that this book should be at the University of Texas, and they go inside to inquire about the asking price. It turns out that the book is part of a much, much larger collection that is for sale. We're talking 10,000 books, 2,000 newspapers and periodicals, 15,000 pamphlets, and 200,000 manuscript pages that include the personal libraries of several prominent Mexican politicians. They ask the shop owner why the Mexican government doesn't want it, and supposedly it's because the collector, Genaro Garcia, held a cabinet position in the Porfirio Diaz government, and this has led to bad blood with Obregón. So here's where the legend comes in. At this point, the legend suggests that the two bought the collection on the spot. In reality, a third member from UT, a librarian, came to assess the collection before buying it. The 17 tons worth of materials was transported to Austin in 1921 by train, and that's the beginning of our collection. So I always say that La Historia Verdadera was the Benson's first book, and the Genaro Garcia collection is one of our two foundational collections.
That is really an incredible story. And what can you tell us about our first book?
Yeah, so Díaz del Castillo was a soldier in Cortés's army that eventually defeated the Aztecs and other indigenous groups in what is present-day Mexico. So as the title implies, La Historia Verdadera, Díaz del Castillo disagreed with Cortés's own version of what happened, a version in which Cortés accepts all the glory for everything that went well and none of the mistakes. And thus, Díaz del Castillo is motivated to write the true version. The book has since become a canonical text for understanding Latin American history. It's read in nearly every Latin American history course. And I think it's because of its really robust description of Tenochtitlan, its portrayal of Malinzin, and its overall account, though biased, of the conquest of Mexico.
It is really a canonical text, and I know that all historians of Mexico have their favorite passages. For me, the description of the Mercado at Tlatelolco and the feasts of Emperor Moctezuma, who had his court cooks or indigenous chefs prepare for him, almost like a tasting menu. And all of this information comes from other texts, but especially from Díaz del Castillo's chronicle. So the Genaro García collection is one, you mentioned that is one of two foundational collections at the Benson. What is the other one?
Let me, before I answer that question, say that I totally agree with you on the description of the market as being something that I read this book probably 18 years ago at this point, and I still have like little memories of reading that passage and just being astounded. So a remarkable text. The other foundational collection is the Joaquin Garcia y Casbalseta collection, which we purchased from his heirs in 1937. What's really nice about this collection is that while Genaro Garcia's strength is predominantly 19th century, y Casbalseta's rounds out the colonial period, and not just in Mexico, but in other parts of Latin America and even the Philippines. So the two combine to set up strong holdings from the 1500s to the 1900s. And some of these highlights I'll just touch on. There's too many to name, but Mexican satire newspapers, Santa Anna's memoirs that he hand-wrote in exile in the Bahamas, books published in the Americas prior to 1601, which we refer to as Primeros Libros, and we have 41 of the 220, and of course, the Relaciones Geográficas, of which we have 42. By the end of the 1930s, we also added the W.B. Stevens papers, which also focused on Mexico, but had a lot of materials regarding what is now Texas and New Mexico and California prior to the Mexican-American War. And so that stretched our holdings further into what is now the U.S. And then similarly, the Manuel Gondra papers, which came to us in 1939 from Paraguay, helped us expand further into South America. So in short, you can see it. We're talking about a collection that simply boomed in less than 20 years.
That's quite a remarkable story. And one of the jewels of the collection are the Relaciones Geográficas and the paintings or pinturas that accompany these Relaciones Geográficas. Can you tell me a little bit about what are the Relaciones Geográficas?
Absolutely. So people come from all over to see these, what we lovingly have shortened to RGs, but Relaciones Geográficas. These were surveys sent around in the 1570s and 1580s with the objective for the King of Spain and those in power to learn about the lands in the periphery. Of course, Spain is very firmly entrenched in what is present day Mexico City, but they want to know what's on the outskirts and in the provinces. So this was truly a colonial enterprise. They wanted to know if there were waterways to transport goods, mines where they could extract silver and gold. They wanted to know if there were large indigenous populations to be used as labor. So one of the questions on the survey asked for a map of the area with no further instruction. So we have some maps as large as a dining room table and some as small as a book, some that are beautifully colored and others less, and some done by indigenous peoples and others by Spaniards. They're all pretty eye-catching and like I said, among our most treasured items in the collection.
I will say that one of the advantages of working at Lilas Benson is at some point seeing one of the jewels of the collection. And you have also had the opportunity to look at these pinturas. And and people can also see the pinturas from their computers because all of these materials are digitalized. And it is absolutely astounding, the artistry of these maps. And I think everybody has one or two favorites. Mine is the one, the painting and the map of Zempoala, that it has a very detailed drawings of nature and of the Altepetl, the indigenous town, the mountain and the water that sustains the town. So these materials are truly extraordinary. So how does the Benson plan to showcase these two collections during the centennial?
Yeah, I always want to just stop and agree with you. The Benson is really one of those places where I've been there nearly 4 years now, and it's, you can find something new. You can see something new there every day. And that's really exciting. What more can you want from your career than to be able to go to a place and learn something new every day, right? So yeah, these, I think these are, they might be our two oldest collections, the Icaz Balseta and the Genaro Garcia collection, but they're still highly sought after. They're among our most requested materials. I spoke to this a little bit, but patrons come from all over for the materials in these two collections. So with that in mind, we're continuing much of our recent year's work to have the bulk of these collections digitized and available to the public for free at collections.lib.utexas.edu. And you also mentioned that the RGs are available for folks to see from the comforts of their own home. And so I would highly encourage them to do that as well. We're sending out monthly emails and using social media posts to draw from these collections at times so that the general public can see old and new favorites. I encourage everyone who's interested to follow our social media channels. Another way to see the vastness of our collection is through the 2018 book, A Library for the Americas, edited by Julian Gilland and Jose Montelongo, which makes for a wonderful coffee table book and is a wonderful addition to anyone's personal collection. And then finally, I would say we have some upcoming digital scholarship events that will surely draw from these collections and similar ones.
It is just incredible how technology has allowed us to connect with book lovers, with historians, with the general public. It's not only just technology that has changed over time our relationship with archives and books. The collections at the Benson, or the way that we do the curatorial and decisions of the collections at the Benson, have changed since we acquired these foundational archives. Can you tell us how they have changed a little bit about this transformation?
Absolutely. I think you're spot on in your assessment. There's a lot of ways to probably answer this question. I want to hone in on how much the Benson has diversified its collections over the years. The names we have talked about today, Genaro Garcia, Icaz Balseta, these are collections that of men, of bibliophiles. And I'm thrilled to say that the Benson has solidified itself as a serious repository for women too. And in that, we have all made concerted effort to resist this adage that the archives are dominated by men. We've got archival collections from Gloria Anzaldúa, Alicia Gaspar de Alba, Maria Luisa Puga, Magda Portal that I think demonstrate our determination. I'd also like to acknowledge the dedication to indigenous languages that Isla specifically has established, and the post-custodial work that our colleague Teresa Polk is doing with communities in Colombia, Guatemala, Brazil, and beyond. Of course, we have another colleague, Rachel, who's building the Black Diaspora Archive. So in short, our collections and our subject matter are ever-changing, but the way that we are collecting is as well, and that's extremely exciting. Listeners will get to hear more about these initiatives in future episodes.
Thank you, Daniel. I think these new approaches to collection development are fundamental to maintaining the quality and dynamism of academic research. I am sure students and other library patrons are also very excited to hear about these archives. It is important to highlight new voices, especially voices and experiences that had been overlooked for such a long time. As you said, in future episodes, we will discuss these and other library collections in much more detail. I hope our listeners continue to join us in this journey to celebrate the first 100 years of the Nettie Benson Library and Collections.
The Benson at 100 is a production of Lilas Benson Latin American Studies and Collections at the University of Texas at Austin. To see relevant images and links for today's discussion, as well as to support the Benson Centennial, visit benson100.org. Music for this podcast was composed by Ola Ola. Thanks for tuning in.